Is it on now?
It's on, go. I clicked it.
Yeah, take two. Hello, and welcome to Unlocking Adventures, the podcast. Why are you looking at me like that?
You're shrugging when you're saying you're like, Unlocking Adventures?
Yeah, that's our... I mean, it's been a while. We haven't recorded in a while.
It's very true, yes.
A lot of things have been happening.
Life has been happening.
Life has been happening, yes. It's been a whirlwind, I think. So we took a little bit of a break, a little hiatus.
Yes, indeed. We're back.
We are back. We traveled a little bit. How did you enjoy your time off?
I mean...
I went to work.
It wasn't time off, per se.
We did travel, too, though.
We did, yes.
We had lots of vacations. So on today's episode, we're going to talk about our most recent stay.
Yep.
We just got back a couple weeks ago, right now?
What's today, the 19th?
I don't know what today is.
So, yeah, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. We just got back and we got to spend some time at Pop Century Resort, which was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that. But I did want to start with the latest news.
Oh, excuse me. Okay.
So this is for Disneyland. Tiana's Palace is opening on September 7th, which is the new eatery.
I was going to say, that's the new eatery, right?
Yeah, okay. It's not the ride. Then the ride isn't opening until, I think, 2024.
It's
late 2024, probably.
The Disneyland one closed after the Disney World one? It doesn't really matter. After, okay. Yeah, that's still at least probably a year or two out.
No, they said, right? Everything I've seen said that it's supposed to come in 2024. Speculation is fall. But I would imagine, things could change, but hopefully they'll be open before winter, before like the Christmas holiday season, for 2024. Definitely before. I feel like it would be great if they were open for their big, you know, the summer travels and stuff, but I don't know if it's going to get there.
That's probably
too ambitious.
Yeah.
I don't know. When we were there, they were making some good progress in Disney World, at least.
They were, yeah. If I was somebody who had never been to Disney World before, had never researched it before, didn't know any of the rides, I would have no clue that had been Splash Mountain and had been Brer Rabbit, Brer Bear themed or anything like that. Because you can't tell anymore from the outside. It's walled off and, well, there wasn't really anything on the outside anyways that kind of...
They still have that play, like in Disney World at least. Walt Disney World, they still have that play area.
Neatly tucked away.
Yeah. But that's a nice little area, especially if you have toddlers. I think it's a good area for toddlers.
It's shaded.
Yeah, nice. Or like just walking. I guess it's still a toddler and you're like one or two. It's a toddler age, right? You're a toddler,
yeah.
So you're like three.
Yeah, I think so.
That tiny little shaded little playground area, and it's a lot more quieter now because there's nobody there.
Nope, you just get to hear the train now since that's opened.
Because that's how you get to the train, is behind it. Mm-hmm. And then also, it's where the bathrooms are.
Yes, they are still open, thank goodness.
So there's new restaurants opening. They're supposed to open one of these, I believe, in Disney World, too. I'm not sure.
Is it going
to
be the same name? We don't know yet, right?
I'm not sure. I think they're supposed to have a restaurant in both. But, I mean, it's pretty cool to have, like, a... Princess and the Frog and Tiana's Palace. It's supposed to be, I think, kind of representing of the restaurant, the final restaurant she had.
I'm pretty excited about it.
I mean, we haven't been to Disneyland. Well, you haven't been to Disneyland in a long time.
Not since age nine, age eight.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But I think it would be nice to have some kind of nice restaurant like that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's opening before the ride, because it's opening in September. It's opening September 7th, I think it said. Yeah, September 7th, so that's so quick.
Quite the lead-in, right?
Yeah. So that's really exciting. I thought that was pretty exciting, because mm-hmm. I feel like they just announced, oh, it's opening, like, oh, we're going to make this restaurant, and now it's opening. I feel like it happened pretty quickly.
You almost get the sense somebody planned it, like, yeah, we're going to plan this restaurant. Hey, folks, what about that building over there? Oh, we already built the building. Great. Okay. It's open in a month. We're good.
But I think that's pretty cool. There's been some other cool things that have been happening with Disney. So they had the new, I mean, that's in terms of the theme parks and things like that. So the you're going to be able to see Bruno and Maribel.
In
Walt Disney World, yeah.
Okay.
They're going to be there September 15th through October 15th. So that's pretty, for Latin American Heritage Month.
And that's in all parks, one of the parks?
Just says Walt Disney World.
So maybe
I would imagine it looks like it's in the parades based on what I'm seeing. But I think you can also meet Maribel.
Bruno should just be sneaking around everywhere with his hood on.
That would
just
be awesome.
Just, like, kind of, like, looking around. Because nobody would think twice about it, minus the fact that there'd be a cast member kind of patrolling with him.
Well, you know what's, you know what's funny is what I really hope is that, so it's Halloween time. And so when you go to, I don't know if he's there, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween, but it would be if he was there. Because you can dress up, you can wear costumes. If someone dressed up as Luca or what's the other guy's name from Luca?
Bruno, the other, no, not Bruno, no. I'm sorry, Luca and, oh no.
I forgot his name.
Oh, no. Alberto.
Alberto. Someone dressed up as them, and then they saw Bruno, they just went to him, Silencio Bruno.
Silencio Bruno.
That would be hilarious. I don't know. I think it would be funny. Anyway, I guess we should dive into what we're going to talk about today. Before we do that, one of the most exciting things, well, not one of the most exciting things, but, so when we went on our trip a couple weeks ago, I got to finally ride Tron.
Cha-ching.
I know, because I didn't get to ride it the last time because I hurt my foot and I had to stay in the hotel room.
That was a, yeah, so that was our spring trip when we got to do that. But that was because we were staying in a, air quote, deluxe, because we were in Swan
and Dolphin.
It was
still a deluxe. It's counted. Well, it's not, we got extended evening hours when we stood at the Swan.
Right, so I was able to grab the virtual queue for super late night, so it was like 11:30 at night.
Right, and I was really geared up to go until I couldn't walk anymore and had to go back to the hotel.
You did something to your ankle or whatever.
Yeah. My foot blew up, remember?
It didn't help that our four-year-old, our son, was a little, I'm tired, yes. I won't go back. I'm like, fine. So, yes, we got to go this time, but it was during the day.
Yes, it was during the day. I didn't get to ride it at night. I think at night would have been really cool. You got to already ride it, and you were telling me all about it. Mm-hmm. So I actually really enjoyed it. I thought it was a pretty cool ride. I know nothing about Tron. Not anything about Tron. So I was totally confused. I was very confused the whole time. I think, so the ride itself, I think the mechanics is really cool. It is a little scary walking into this. The thing that straps you in, if you're claustrophobic, I feel like it's a little weird to
It's a bit different. Because like when you think roller coaster, you think either lap bar to pull down on you, maybe even like the little harness thing that you pull over yourself. You don't think about like kind of squeezing yourself in.
I can't see you. I see you trying to motion squeeze in.
But it's helping me to stand. Like squeeze yourself in, arms in front of you, legs tucked behind you. Like if you've never ridden a motorcycle, which I haven't either, you're like, this is kind of weird feeling.
Well, it's very similar, I feel like, when you get strapped into Flight of Passage, but more intense.
Well, yeah, because in Flight of Passage, you know that you're physically not really moving anywhere.
Well,
spoiler alert. You're
moving, but it's not on a track.
But it's a platform. You're not, like, bolting forward or turning corners or anything like that.
But
yeah.
But it is weird still. Mm-hmm. It does make it feel faster. I would say it was a really cool concept, though, because I've never, you know, and it was very fast. Mm-hmm. It felt faster than because of the way you're sitting, because of, I guess, the aerodynamics and all of that.
Absolutely.
So I thought the ride was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. And we did virtual queue. We didn't do the individual lightning lane. But I had no idea what the story was. Mm-hmm. And that was my biggest negative for it. Like, so there is a pre-show, quote-unquote, where you're digitized,
right?
Which is kind of cool, but then they didn't really tell me what that meant. Like, when I've never seen Avatar. Spoiler, sorry, guys. But when I went on Flight of Passage, I understood the concept of what we were doing because they had the pre-show where they're like, we're going to tie your body to this, what is the thing? Whatever they say.
I know what you mean, right. Yeah, whatever the flying creature is.
I'm sorry, I've just never seen Avatar.
You're fine.
But I'm apologizing to the audience, not to you.
I was going to say, I haven't seen it either, so don't apologize to me.
But that they had this whole, you didn't need to see the movie to understand what you were doing, right? It was this magical place, you were being tied to something.
You understood your mind was being linked to one of the, yeah, exactly.
So you knew what was going to, you didn't need to know the story, really. Mm-hmm. I think if we had seen the movie, it probably would have elevated our experience with it.
Possibly, yeah.
So I've never seen Tron, or if I did, I don't remember. I think I've seen the second part of the second one.
Part of the second one.
But like, I didn't fully understand why we were on a motorcycle. I just, you know, we were on a ride. And I didn't fully understand. I guess you said that you're competing. It was like a race or something. Mm-hmm. Where you can die. I was totally. And you get digitized and then you wait for another 20 minutes.
Right.
You know, like when you wait at like Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, at least you're waiting, you see this cool pre-show, and it's like you're going in a cartoon. So,
right,
you know,
exactly.
Or like even Guardians, where you have to wait. Or even Haunted Mansion, right? So you go into the stretching room of Haunted Mansion, and then you are waiting to get onto your actual dune buggy.
Yeah. Guardians, so, you get the whole thing about how, oh no, we have to escape now, get to your escape pods.
Right. So it had this whole build-up for it, and it made sense.
Right.
The pre-show was, we're going to digitize you, which I thought was really cool, how they did it. And then it was kind of like, okay, why are we being digitized? What is the goal of this? I got really confused with it.
What they probably can't do this now at this point, because it is a carbon copy of Disneyland Shanghai's Tron ride. It's the same thing, just over here in the States now.
Right.
What they probably should have done, because if you haven't ridden on it before, what's really awesome about it is, yes, you're right, you go and you like punch in for your Lightning Lane or virtual queue. And then you go in, and the first thing you do before you get to lockers and stuff for your crap is you do get digitized. But the cool part being that when the flash happens, it's digitized, you can see through it now, and you can see, like, the track below. What they should have probably done was before this, you're about to be digitized, and you're, like you said, you're sitting there looking around going, yeah, what do you mean I'm getting digitized?
What does that mean?
So when you're after that, and when you get in the line, there's, like, a screen with a lady who pops down and basically tells you that this is the race and here's how it works. Like, right, maybe that should have been part of that little process because nobody really pays attention to those TVs when you're standing in line anyways.
I paid attention in the fact where I was like, this is a safety video, right? Like, it's like when you go on Alien Swirling Saucers and they have the video of that you should, little toys need to be loaded first. I kind of took it as that. So I wasn't really listening to it. I was just like, okay, I need to be strapped in. This is what it is.
Right.
I did not realize it was someone explaining to me what the entire meant.
That was
my issue with it, because I would have loved for them to have a cast member or even have someone on the television tell us, like, this is what's going to happen.
Right.
Like, when you go to Star Tours and they have the video where
the safety thing.
Yeah, the safety, quote unquote, video. It's funny. Mm-hmm. And they show C-3PO going to test stuff on the ship. And, like, you see that in the background. So that's why you kind of get stuck with, not stuck, but, you know, he's off. Well, you get stuck with him.
Yeah.
As your captain on the ship, even though he's not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
So, but, or even when you're on Soarin' and they have the video. But it's made louder so you pay attention to it. And it's funny and it's humorous. This one didn't really bring me into it. I didn't feel... And it's very loud in there because of the coasters going, right? So you couldn't really hear the TV.
Yeah, because there isn't really... There's no door that separates. Like, the area that we were in for a little while in the virtual queue, spent most of our waiting time, was the one with the screen like you're talking about, where they're explaining the race. But there's no actual physical barrier to stop you from being able to hear... Which is a cool room, by the way, when you walk around and you can see other people getting launched. But, yeah, it's very loud in there. You've got other people talking as well. And it's just not the ideal spot to have, like, the explanation for what you're doing on the light cycles, which is what the actual bikes are called.
They really should have done some sort of pre-show right before you get digitized, right?
Yeah.
Just to explain what's happening, to build it up. They could have done that video. They could have done something else.
Absolutely.
They could have told you why you were blue. And, like, part of me was like, oh, is the other side red and we're going to beat them? Is it going to be like a race? Like, in when you're in Cars in Disneyland on the Cars ride.
You can physically see the other.
Well, and it is a race, so it's random. So you may lose or you may win. You don't know, depending on which car you're on.
Rewrideability.
Right, it kind of changes the story. So, but we were all blue because I guess blue is better. But I had no idea. I mean, I love the color blue, but I had no idea why.
Yeah.
And I think that's what was confusing to me. I think it was a fun ride. I had a lot of fun on it. It was quick. It was really fast. But I think it was fun. I think I'm glad I did it. I'm glad that it was an indoor queue, mostly. Yep. We were outside for a little bit, but mostly inside. But I don't think I would pay for it, honestly. I think the virtual queue was very easy to get for when we went. I mean, we went during kind of a low-key time.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only two of us, so maybe I would have paid for it for two people. But for four people, no. That would have been a lot of money, I think. And the queue, I think we waited a total of like 30 minutes after in virtual queue.
Right, and that's the thing, too, is so you if I remember correctly, based on watching other people do the Lightning Lane, you end up in the same queue because you have to get digitized. So it's not like you're skipping the entire line. Like, I, from the looks of it, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, you, the virtual queue, we waited outside for a little bit. You were covered, but we were outside, but Lightning Lane walked right through. No, actually, I stand corrected. They walked up to the same point that where we would get and then say, okay, now you can go through. So you're really only Lightning Lane in the first part of it. And then you still had to wait in line after the digitizing part, which was
which was a bulk of our waiting time, to be completely honest.
Afterwards, yeah. In the line with everybody. I don't think there was a skip, but yeah.
But it's quick. Honestly, because of how fast the coaster is, I think their wait is not that long. I don't like to wait in line, but I will say it was 123 degrees when we went.
Mm-hmm.
No joke. That was the real feel. So waiting inside was completely fine. If we were with the kids, not so sure they would be okay with waiting.
It depends.
Yeah. I think if you have the extended evening hours and you can do it, or if you're at one of the late night parties where you can get on the queue, it's probably a lot less people.
And that's the risk, right? So if you're got a Magic Kingdom day, or however this is going to work in 2024, who knows? Right. You get the double opportunity to try to virtual queue if you don't get the 7 a.m. one.
Right.
Which, and everyone's correct about this, it looks cooler at night.
Yeah.
When you watch the ride. When you're not on it and you see it at night, it's really cool. When you're riding it, though, there's only that one brief bit outside, and then the rest is inside. So there's no real difference inside versus day and night. So it looks cooler as an observer at night. So you might want to aim for that virtual queue at one, but you're not necessarily going to get a time at which the sun's down. You could get it earlier in the day. You don't know.
Well, and also, you don't want to risk it, because we tried that with Guardians. We got a 1 o'clock virtual queue, and remember, the ride broke down.
So they stopped loading, yeah.
Yeah, so if you really, really want to ride it, try to get it at 7. The beauty of the other big news we didn't really talk about yet, because it's been out for a while, is that starting January 4th, we don't have to have a park pass reservation anymore.
This is correct.
So January 4th, 2024, no park pass reservation. You can try and get that virtual queue at 7 a.m. without having to worry about
the practice. We assume that's how it has to work, right?
Because right, we don't know.
Otherwise, that'd be kind of silly, unless it's a geographic sort of thing where, well, you're not in the parks, you can't do it. Like, hey.
Well, I'm also wondering when they're going to stop the virtual queue. So, like, if you look at Rise of the Resistance, that line gets up to, like, 300 minutes. It's crazy how packed that ride can be. And so I'm just curious of what they're going to do, because there's not a huge queue outside the way that it's set up right now.
For Tron, no.
So you're going to back all the way into Tomorrowland.
They probably have it set up that way, too, eventually.
It's not going to be covered anymore, so no. It's going to be a mess. But if you're going and you can snag a virtual queue, I think it's worth it to try it out. Like I said, especially if it's hot, you can wait inside for a little while. And I think it was fun. I wouldn't pay for it.
And this was the second time now. And again, this could be like not as many people are trying to get virtual queue, but it worked once during spring break.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the second time I've done it now, where at 6:59, I was on the screen for join virtual queue and just kept refreshing the page. And I didn't pay attention to when it changed over to 7 a.m. and then it just worked. And I was like, click it real quick.
Were you on the Wi-Fi?
I don't remember. I'm trying to remember where I was physically that day.
I feel like if you have good service, you should not be on the Wi-Fi, because everybody's on the Wi-Fi.
Everyone's going to clog it up.
I feel like, so we were at a value, and the Wi-Fi is not as, personally, I don't think the Wi-Fi is as good at a value as it is when you're at, like, Grand Floridian or one of the deluxe resorts. Yeah. So, but if you're saying it like Swan and Dolphin, doesn't really matter, because you won't be on Disney Wi-Fi anyway.
So what we're saying basically, though, is like Tron's worth it, but not necessarily. Right now it's $20.
It's been $20
for an individual. It hasn't changed. There's no fluctuation with
that. If you're a diehard Tron fan, you know, and you need to, and you want a specific time, I'm sure there's plenty. I've never seen the movie. Then if you're willing to pay the $20 ahead to do it, or if you're by yourself, do it. Pick Absolutely. Your time. But like, virtual queue was not terrible. It was pretty easy to get it. Mm-hmm. And if you can't get it at 7, you try at 1. But you can also, the other thing is, I would try virtual queue first, and if you don't get it, then you could buy it. Because we saw that it was available almost all day to buy. You know, we got into the park at 9, and we looked at it, and you could still buy virtual queue for 11. So there was, you know, now we went during August. It's a slower time, but still.
Right. Well, that's like the Guardians one we picked up but couldn't use because the ride eventually shut down.
Well, that was a virtual queue.
But that's my point, though, is that was because right now with the rules the way they are, unless a certain park is your first park of the day, and if you have Park Hopper, I should say that too. So we had Park Hopper the first day we rope dropped Hollywood Studios. So eventually we made our way to Epcot because we had a Guardians ILL, Individual Lightning Lane, for later. So, and you pointed out to me, well, we can try a virtual queue, but it's not going to work until we actually badge in. But at that point, it's an hour after it's open, so you go, all right, it's probably not going to work. But it did. It was available still, so not everyone had jumped in line.
Right.
Granted, it didn't matter because the ride shut down and they stopped loading, but the point is it was still available an hour after it was, you know, opened, which during Spring Breaker this year, it feels like that would never happened. It was just gone, gone, gone. So
true.
Yeah.
And I will 100% always pay to ride Guardians. That is my favorite ride.
Well, that's one where the virtual queue and the individual lightning lane actually have two completely separate lines up until you get what I feel like the ride starts for pre-show. Right. Like we just talked about Tron, the digitizing as a pre-show, quote unquote. But then it's literally like right after you are let through by the cast member there, and then you're in the regular line, which is where we spent most of our time waiting. It'd be different if you spent more of your time waiting outside, and then you could move right through. But Guardians, we've almost always zipped right through for the individual lightning lane.
But when you do the virtual queue for Guardians, you can wait for a long time.
it's a big line usually.
Well, and it's a long because I think there's only one room for the pre-show. I don't think there's two.
There's only one. So, if you're individual lightning lane and you watch as you walk past and they let you through, if you turn to your left, my voice probably dropped out there for a second. If you turn to your left, you can see all the common folk. All the virtual queue.
The common folk. People, and it's you know, hard so. Then because it's two pre-shows, right? Because there's the first room and then there's a second room. So you have to think about the fact that there's like those times that are built up, and then you have to go wait again. Mm-hmm. So that's where the line can get so long, and then that ride can break down. I just saw something on in Facebook like that Guardians had broken down, and they put all the lights on because they had to emergency, you know, when they have to remove people. And it's so weird.
I'm sure because it's screens in there for all of the actual like elements you can see.
Yeah.
So,
but. Yeah, so, I mean, I think it was fun. I'm glad we did it, because we almost didn't do it, and then we changed our mind.
Correct. Yeah, that is true.
So, I'm glad that we got that opportunity. I'm glad I did it. Like I said, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I wish it had a little bit more oomph. Maybe I'll watch Tron and appreciate it more.
Might be at that point, you might think, oh, okay, yeah, now I kind of understand what's going on, but not as sinister.
Yeah. All right. Well, so that was fun to talk about that. So, so you want to dive into? We were going to talk about Pop Century, but then we got kind of sidetracked into talking about
Which
Tron.
Which is fine. You wanted to talk about Tron, anyways, too. So
yeah, I think it was cool to talk about that. So we just started Pop Century. So I figured, why don't we just kind of dive into our thoughts on that?
Yep.
It was our first time staying at Pop Century. It was your first time staying at a Value, correct?
I believe that is correct. Yeah.
Yeah, because you haven't been to any of the All Stars before or anything. So.
No. Never stepped foot in an All Star.
Oh my goodness, that makes you sound like very hoity-toity.
Never would step foot on an All Star. No.
You're just the worst person. meanwhile, we were like, we should probably book an All Star for our next trip because.
Well, you know. Anyways.
So Pop Century Value Resort, which means it's the lower cost.
Lowest of the lowest, three tier, yeah.
Because there's Value, Moderate, Deluxe, and Deluxe Villas. So Value is going to be your least expensive on property, on Walt Disney World property.
Mm-hmm.
This one is a little bit more expensive than the All Stars because it is attached to the Skyliner, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you want to start?
Well, you said Skyliner, which, and
no, transportation.
Yeah, and I think, like, so interestingly, kind of like bouncing back off of, because we were there for Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night for this trip.
Yeah, it was three days.
Yeah, 3 days, three nights.
4 days, three nights.
Sorry, 4 days, three nights. So on the Saturday, we had Magic Kingdom, so that's a bus from Pop Century, and I figured we didn't rush that morning and we were like, oh man, you know, we're going to miss the rope drop. It's fine. But the bus got us there at what felt like super speed, and the guy wasn't speeding anything like that. It didn't take as long as I thought it was going to, bus-wise, so that transportation was actually not nearly as bad as I was kind of anticipating it to be.
Yeah, I think, so with the All-Stars, you're further away from Magic Kingdom.
A little more south, yeah.
These were a little bit closer because of the Skyliner and all that.
Yep.
I think they're a little bit closer, which was nice. I will also say, though, we were just the two of us. We didn't have a stroller.
Very true.
So, because we were at the end of that line, and they almost didn't let us on, and then we were like, oh, it's two, and we didn't have a stroller, so they let us on the bus, because it was packed.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there was a family with a stroller in front of us, and the bus driver was like, that's not fitting on there.
I think there was, like, a solo person behind us who got to get on, too, something
possible,
like that.
Yeah.
But it was, the biggest thing with all of the value ones is that there's a lot of people who stay at those, right?
Yes.
They're bigger in terms of the amount of people. What's nice about Pop Century, though, is that there's one bus, right? So when you stay at the All-Star resorts, there's multiple bus stops because they'll go to each All-Star, or there's just be a lot of people in that way. So I guess not multiple bus stops. It's not there. I don't remember if
no, I think that don't they have their each have their own, because I swear they show up and there's lots of music and
they
stuff
don't
like
always
that, no?
have their
they
own
don't
I think
always,
maybe
okay.
in the middle of the day and stuff like that.
Oh sure, okay.
But there's a lot of people in these resorts because
yes.
the rooms are smaller, they can fit more people, they're huge resorts,
and it's value pricing, so a lot of people would flock to those anyway, so yeah, which is
but
fine.
Pop Century is smaller than those, I would say, in terms of, it has a lot, there's a lot of people there.
Yes.
Because I think when we boarded the bus, when we were at a deluxe, it didn't feel like there was like a rush to get there. I remember we went on the Animal Kingdom bus. We were like the only ones on that.
Multiple times.
We were on Animal Kingdom Lodge to get to the to take the buses anywhere. We were like the only, like when we rope dropped.
Absolutely,
I think it's the, maybe there's more families staying at the, like more families with younger kids, maybe, staying there, which is not a bad thing, but it's just depending on your vibe of what you're looking
for.
Absolutely, yeah. But yeah, I think the bus wasn't terrible, and it was nice because we were, I feel like you're never that far at Pop Century from the bus stop, versus
maybe some
of the other ones, because, like even Caribbean, when you're at Caribbean Beach, there's a lot of bus stops, and it's huge, or Coronado. So you were basically right there. We were in the
70s,
which is not the top place you want to be, but it also wasn't terrible.
Right,
it was not a terrible walk.
So the main hall and the pool area are surrounded by two 60s buildings.
Yeah.
Then on the opposite side from us, on the other side of the 60s, was the 50s buildings. Then we were the 70s. Then the other side of us were the 80s and then the 190s building. I'd say the 90s building is the one that's probably the furthest away from
probably
all of that. 70 from where we were in the 70s building wasn't bad at all to get to all the amenities, basically, which is nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, the buses were fine.
The Skyliner was good.
The Skyliner was good up until we saw the chaos that was post-fireworks, everyone leaving from Epcot.
Yes, that was a train wreck. So
that was an experience.
Well, because so if the Skyliner is definitely a huge perk, I will say, about staying at Pop Century Art of Animation, because they have that. One thing to note is that you will be sharing the Skyliner with Art of Animation, so you could get a line.
We
rope dropped, and so there wasn't a line when we were there right in the morning, but there definitely could be a line. The other thing that can be annoying is that it's not a straight shot anywhere.
Shot, yeah.
So Caribbean Beach is the hub. So you have to transfer. And that is hard sometimes, you know, because so if you're on the sky, so it was just the two of us, which wasn't bad because we're two adults. We can kind of get on. We were able to get on pretty easily. But when we had the stroller for the Skyliner, you have to fold up if it's a double stroller, if it's side by side.
Correct, yeah.
And if it's really busy, even if it's not, you do have to fold it up. If there's a lot of people and you have to end up sharing the Skyliner, because they did put us with other people and it was really busy.
Well, and I don't blame them for doing that because of how bad the lines were, yeah.
So then you take the Skyliner to Caribbean Beach, then you get off and you wait in another line. And that, I think, can be very hard when you want to go to either Hollywood Studios or Epcot. So when we were coming back from Epcot, we had to wait in the line for the Skyliner, which I will say it moved relatively fast.
Yeah, it did.
And then we had to get to Caribbean and then get on another line. And it was late the fireworks finished, then we went into that store.
We were in there for like 10, 15 minutes, yeah.
And we wait, I think full, I did the timing, it took about 40 minutes from getting on the Skyliner line to getting back to Pop Century.
Yeah, you did time that, yeah.
So, you know, if you, it was just two adults, I was tired, but I can't imagine doing that with my little kids.
No.
And they're like, Gregory's starting to like fireworks again. And so I can't imagine him being, like, dealing with carrying a sleeping child, carrying, you know, we didn't have, Abby wasn't in a stroller the last time, so we definitely would be carrying her too, trying to deal with, okay, getting on Skyliner, getting off Skyliner, getting on another Skyliner. It could be a lot if you're a fireworks family.
Right. Even just remove the line of people from that, just having kids trying to, like, carry them around. And then, you know, gone are the days where it was easy to sling one over your shoulder. Now it's like, okay, let's go, come on. They're getting taller, they're getting bigger.
But I will say, I think the bus situation, because we did fireworks at Magic Kingdom too, and then we took the bus home. And I remember saying, after seeing the line to get to ticket, because for those who have to transfer a ticket in transportation center, so if you're parked there or something, or if you're staying in an off-site resort that doesn't have a Disney bus, I would have hated that because the line to get out, and this was a slow week, right?
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, this was August. It's like school's coming back into session. There's low crowds, I felt like. We walked out of that resort, out of Magic Kingdom, and we went to the Disney buses, and I just remember looking at the monorail to get to the monorail resorts was insane. That line.
I really wish we had taken, neither one of us pulled our phones out to.
I took photos.
Did you?
Of course I took photos. I have you met me? It was insane. And
I thought the ferry line was worse, though, to be honest. Yes,
the ferry line was terrible.
Nightmare.
But to get to the, you know, obviously we had to wait in line to get a bus, and one bus came, we had to wait for another bus, which isn't the greatest, but it was fine. I think it was a lot easier than going to a transportation center or any of that.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
When we stood off-site that one time, we would have had to deal with all of that. Now, granted, our kids were very little then, so we didn't even stay that late. But
that is very true, yeah.
I think, you know, if you are a fireworks family, then and you either be prepared to wait for a very long time. Because we even waited in Magic Kingdom. We were like, let's see if the line dies down. I remember we waited for another, like, 40 minutes. We went shopping or whatever, and it was still bad.
Well, the stores were a nightmare. Because it wasn't even just post-fireworks. It was, it's 11 o'clock. The park is closing, when we left. And it was still...
Oh, because we went on Space Mountain, too.
We went on Space Mountain, Super Lakes. We figured, why not? And the people leaving, I thought most people would have been like, yeah, fireworks, like, all right, you know, I'm out of here. But the stores along Main Street were jammed with people. But, yeah, that's one of the things you have to take into consideration for where you're staying, which for us two adults staying at Pop Century wasn't terrible. We, like you said, we waited one bus, another one came, we were fine. We made it back, wasn't a big deal.
But if I think, you know, I think the bus wasn't bad. I think the Skyliner was worse. Waiting for the Skyliner was worse doing the Skyliner than doing with the bus for Magic Kingdom.
Right. If your plan is to do fireworks at park, like Magic Kingdom's kind of different because they do their fireworks at like, well, we were told 9:20 is when they did them.
But they're long.
They're long, but they're not an hour long. You know, like Magic Kingdom closes at 10. It closes at 10 that night. That's right. All right.
We got. Remember, we got to Space Mountain at 9:59.
Yeah, like let us in.
Yeah, we're like one of the last.
But
people.
I feel like so, like that happens at Magic Kingdom, right? There's a little bit of time after the fireworks, and you can still get on rides. Epcot and Hollywood Studios, those fireworks or those shows usually happen after the park, like right at when park is closing or just after. Like, there's usually a Fantasmic at like 9:30 at Hollywood Studios
and it
closes at 9. So at that point, everyone, when fireworks are done, like at Epcot, we saw it. Oh, here goes everybody. So, yeah, that's the difference there being like, so Pop Century, the Skyliner was terrible coming back from Epcot. We learned that firsthand, which is good we learned that because it's good to now know, oh, that's a real nightmare to deal with. Buses were what usual buses are, which is fine. But in terms of like the resort itself, though.
Oh, yeah. We can go
like
that
we
now.
Were saying. So we were in the 70s building, the fourth floor of a 70s building.
Yes.
Which.
There are elevators.
There are elevators, which you learned, which is great.
They were creepy, but they were there. One of them kind of felt like we were on Tower of Terror.
It did feel that way. Every time the door closed, you were like, oh, that didn't sound good.
Yeah, I feel like it needed some WD-40.
Yeah. But everything from the Skyliner to the pool to the main hall where check-in, food, store, and all that stuff is, felt like maybe a 5-minute walk tops.
Yes, yes.
And that's only because we were on the fourth floor.
Right, honestly. I think, and we chose to take the stairs a lot because we didn't have a stroller, and we were like, let's just not worry about the elevator.
Absolutely.
I think typically, whenever I, and it, because we didn't have the kids with us, I typically pick and or opt for a ground level for any resort we're at because we have the kids and the stroller, and I just don't want to deal
easier.
With... Well, I don't want to have to, especially at Caribbean where there aren't elevators in all of the buildings. I just didn't want to, I don't want to deal with having to wait for an elevator when we have a stroller. We deal with all that at late night. I like just being able to walk right into your room. Even when we were at like French Quarter, I liked being on the first floor.
No, that's fair. Yeah,
but we didn't really it didn't really matter to us. We just wanted a room.
Yeah.
So fourth floor was fine. But I will tell you, walking back, going up those stairs was hard.
Especially when you've been in the park all day.
Yes. Yes.
But like, so in terms of the resort itself, right? So like, it's not too spread out, like you said. It feels like you, you could see like the 50s side of things and not feel like you were miles away or
anything
like that.
I think it was, in comparison to, you know, other resorts I've been to, or I think it was definitely pretty close, tight. It wasn't too bad. But even with that, it didn't feel, when you were at your room at least, you didn't hear a lot of people, right?
It was
feel
very quiet.
Yeah. I feel like the walls weren't thin or anything like that.
No. And maybe they'd be different if we were in one of the 60s buildings that was facing the pool.
True. We
or
were,
something.
Yeah.
But those close at 11 p.m. So at that point, the only noise you're going to hear are people returning back from parks super late or Disney Springs super late or anything like that. That's about it. But so what were your thoughts on, because we got there on a Thursday, didn't do a park day on Thursday, so what were your thoughts on the pool, because that's what we basically first jumped into when we first got there.
You mean during the rainstorm?
That was interesting, actually, the amount of
well,
rain we got.
There's three pools, right?
Yes.
The main pool, and then there was the two other pools. I think the pool is fine. It's a pool, you know, so I think it's a lovely pool. It's not huge.
No.
So sometimes it felt like there were a lot of people. I wish there was more shade. There's not a lot of shade at that
There's
pool.
There's practically deck. None.
There's a couple of umbrellas, but there really isn't a lot of shade. And there's not really a splash zone. There is a little bit of like a water area for kids, but it's not anything tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are just looking for, like, we came back from the park, I think it was after Epcot, we got back to the park.
Yes.
Up in the park, and we had an hour before the pools were going to close or something like that, and we're like, let's just jump
and we
in.
We used all that hour, yeah, basically.
You know, it's a nice way to just cool off and enjoy it. If you are a family you're not really motivated by what your pool is going to look like, you're not someone who's going to have a full-on pool day.
Right.
Then I think it's fine. I think it's good to get a little dip in and relax. But it's just a standard pool to me. And I think for our family, I think it was fine for our situation, especially
for the two of us.
Two of us, and if we were not going to use a pool at all, but for the way we vacation, and this is just our family, we take break days, which I love. So we like to spend an entire day at a pool, and we could. Like when we were at Swan the last time, Abby and I were just trying out every pool, going on the slide, doing all these different things. There was a lot to do and see, and it was fun.
Absolutely.
They do have the pool games there, which they do at every Disney resort, which is really nice.
Right.
So there is some entertainment, but you know, it is at the end of the day, it's a pool. You know, there's no slide, there's no
not at these values, right?
Yeah, there's like some flowers that shoot water at you. So it's really what you're looking for in terms of what's important to you. There is no hot tub if you're looking for a hot tub, so
correct.
Keep that in mind. And the computer pool was fine too. It was actually I felt like the computer pool, which is not the main pool, was bigger, but it could have been just because it was a rectangle shape.
Yeah, it also felt bigger too. It goes back to your point of, so when we went to the Hippy Dippy pool is the name of the main one, and it's shaped like a flower petal.
Right.
Not a flower, I'm sorry, it's shaped like a flower, duh.
And multiple flower petals.
Multiple, yeah. And so when we were doing it on Thursday, there were a lot of people there already. It started raining, and at that point you're like, well, you're already wet, you're not going to get out of the pool. So most people stayed in the pool, so it felt probably tighter. When we went to the computer pool, which is in between the 280s buildings and 90s building, It was late at night. A lot of families are probably already in bed or getting ready for bed.
There were some kids there, though.
There were some, well, right, I'm saying in general. It definitely was less populated, so it felt like you could swim around without having to worry about accidentally elbowing somebody in the face or anything crazy like that. But like you said, it's a value resort, so you're not going to get all of the fancy shindig like you would get. Like Caribbean has a pretty good splash pad area for kids. It's actually built up and looks like a playground.
Yeah.
For and water stuff. There's
French Quarters was my favorite.
French Quarters was really good, and that's what you're going to get between values and moderates without even thinking about the deluxes. You know, just one level up at a moderate, you're going to get slightly more stuff.
Yeah, except Coronado, and even I think we talked about this, that Animal Kingdom Lodge's kids splash zone wasn't very exciting either. I don't think Animal Kingdom had one.
I don't know. We didn't really look.
No, I don't think they had one. Not at where we were staying, at least.
Maybe not.
Kidani Village might have, but we weren't there.
I'll be honest with you. I don't really remember because when we went to Animal Kingdom Lodge...
It was a hurricane.
There was that, yeah, hurricane tropical storm blowing through. So the kids just wanted to go to the main pool, which we did, which was absolutely ridiculous in the middle of a tropical storm.
I will say a positive for these. So at Pop Century is that there is a lifeguard at every pool. So when we were at Caribbean and or Coronado and some of these other ones where they have the
quiet pools,
there are not lifeguards at quiet pools typically.
Right.
It is kind of swim at your own risk. So if you are someone who really, it's really important for you to have those safety features in place to have a lifeguard with your children or whoever, then I think it's really nice that they have that.
It's true.
The downside is that the pool does close then, right? So not that pools are 24 hours anywhere, but I remember being at Yacht and Beach Club, the main pool closed probably at 11. And so we could still go to the quiet pool and use the hot tub and all of that post 11.
Yeah.
Which was nice. So if you are doing an adult trip and you want to go swimming or go to the hot tub when you get back from Magic Kingdom, you have that option.
Mm-hmm.
With this one, you won't really have that. At 11, they were very strict. Pools closed. They
gave us like a 5-minute warning too. You're like, oh, well, that's convenient.
If you're going with little kids and you really want to have that light, it's nice that every pool that's there will have a lifeguard, which is good. And they'll have life vests and all that stuff. So I think that was nice.
Very true.
And the quiet pools at Caribbean were much smaller than I would say.
Well, they're your typical,
if
you were staying in, like I would best equate those to like the Comfort Inn, Hampton Inn style kind of stuff when they have like the indoor pools. They're not huge, but they're great for access purposes. So,
Okay, so what about the food?
So having stayed at, we've stayed at moderates, we've stayed at deluxes, and at the moderates like Caribbean Beach and French Quarter, you got a lot of what I would call like generic American style food, like your burgers and stuff like that. But you also get stuff that's like themed for that. Like Caribbean had some like Caribbean style, like there was jerk chicken.
Yeah, the food at the Caribbean cafeteria was very good.
It was very good.
And I'm going to say cafeteria because they only have quick service.
At Values.
So there's no sit-down restaurant. There's none of that. There's the cafeteria, which, honestly, you hear cafeteria and you think negative about it, but it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was. So
everywhere, I think.
So I will say that there was the options at Pop Century was, there was a lot of pizzas. Pizzas were very popular. Pizza, I saw a lot of pizza boxes around.
We don't really tend to get... We're biased because we live in New York, so we don't tend to get pizza when leave New York. So please don't judge us.
No, we didn't do that.
Because we eat pizza all the time here.
Yeah. The breakfast is pretty much... I think we got the same style of breakfast we would have gotten at any of the other places. It was like the bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches, or you can get like the Mickey waffles and stuff.
They had pancakes there,
too. They did have pancakes. The thing that we did try, and it was more due to like an unfortunate circumstance that we got
a
free pass on food for something. But we went and tried the build your own kind of like protein, like
dinner. Oh, yeah, the little bowls. They had like a dinner bowl.
They're cool little bowls. So, like, I forget what you got. I got some sort of like braised beef or something, which is like actually pretty good.
I think it was like a sesame chicken or something.
Yeah, sesame chicken, right?
Something like that. I don't know.
It was pretty good.
Honestly, I liked all the food there.
Yeah.
You know, I think, yes, it was it could be the standard, but I didn't have any problem with, we had pretty good breakfast when we were there. The eggs were nice. They were good. The bagels were good. We had some lunches and a dinner there, I think. I don't know if we had dinner. We had lunches there.
It was
there.
A late lunch, kind of. The one I was talking about was like a late lunch.
I think the only downside I would say is mobile ordering took longer than I thought it would. We mobile ordered.
Yeah.
So when we arrived, I mobile ordered in the cab or in the, would we take an Uber?
Yeah, the Uber.
Uber,
yeah, yeah.
on the way to the resort, and it still, and then when I got there, I clicked I'm here, and usually I feel like it takes maybe like five to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It took 30 minutes for us to get, and I had like a chicken Caesar salad. It wasn't anything like too intense, and I feel like, and it wasn't lunchtime. It was like a off time, so I just felt like it took a long time for us to get food. Anytime we mobile ordered, even with breakfast. But I feel like when we were there and you ordered, which is like completely opposite of anything I've ever done with Disney, in terms of how it works, it felt like it was a lot faster to just order when I was there and then minus,
absolutely, yeah.
You know, you had to wait in line a little bit, but whatever.
Oh,
I feel like
it
took less time. But yeah, everybody was, I liked the food. I thought the food was good. And there's a little pool bar too, where we got some drinks at one point, which was very nice. Everybody was very friendly. So I think the food was great.
Yeah, and I think it's the perfect kind of spot for like our kids aren't super like, I'm gonna go and eat like beef Wellington or something like that. They're very like, oh, there's pizza, I'm all about
pizza,
the pizza
and Mickey waffles, man. Yeah. But also I like Mickey waffles, so I'm okay with that.
Well, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm saying like, so for example, I'll use this as an example. So Animal Kingdom Lodge has several restaurants there also, and their quick service had several options that were very like, oh, what's this?
Very unique,
this is something different, unique. Yeah. Kids never wanted to touch any of it. They're all about the, oh, look at, you know, look at the waffles, look at the pancakes, look at the burgers, hot dogs, whatever. So a place like this at Pop Century, where it is just kind of a mess hall cafeteria style, which is, again, we don't make that sound bad. It's just what it is. Is perfect for our style of family because we don't need like super fancy meals necessarily or anything like that.
I also think it's perfect for a family that has different types of eaters, right?
Yes.
So if you have the really picky one who only wants mac and cheese and chicken nuggets, they're going to have that. I think they have mac and cheese.
Pretty sure.
But you also have the one who wants to try something a little bit unique, or one who really is wants a lot of vegetables or something like that. Like, they have that option. You could go to all these different places and each get something different, and it would be fine. So,
absolutely, yeah.
And I think the food was really good. I had no qualms with that.
No, food was great, yeah.
All right, so let's go into the room itself.
Absolutely, yes.
So what I love about Pop Century and a lot of the refurbished rooms that they have now in the values, and even the moderates have these too, some of them.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Is the bed, the table bed. So when you walk in, we got a standard room, so nothing special.
Yeah.
And there's one, I think it's a full or queen. Was it a queen?
It was a queen.
A queen size bed there. And there's a table with two chairs. And it's perfect. It's a perfect size table, a lot of room. And then you can pull down from the wall an entirely another bed. And we even laid on it and checked it out. I did at least. And it was fine. It was comfortable. I think it would have been really great for our kids.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's nice because it kind of gives you a little bit more space during the day. Because if you're a family who, like our kids, like to sit and eat breakfast every morning. And so it's nice to be able to have that space. Or like if you are a family who takes a break in the middle of the day, but you want a little bit more options than just beds, there's this, you can pull it up and you have a little bit more room in your room, which I think is good. So I really love that. I also really love, and this is kind of standard, I think, in a lot of Disney resorts now, is that the bed is raised. So your suitcase can fit underneath your bed. If you can compact your stroller enough and fold it, it can fit under your bed. So it saves a lot of space because the rooms aren't huge.
No, by any means,
but if you can save some of that space, because when we stood at Caribbean, it was before they refurbished the rooms.
Yeah.
And so we had the stroller open in a corner. We had all our stuff everywhere.
It was really tight in there with everything, yeah.
So having that underneath, I think, that underneath storage and having a little bit more is really nice. I will say, though, if you have kids who are little, so like the first time we went with Abby or Gregory when we stood on site, they could fall out of bed, and it's pretty high up. So we had bumpers that we bought, like inflatable
bumpers. Yeah.
I would definitely have them there because you are a little higher than you might be comfortable.
Well, that's the trade-off to having the storage space underneath the beds. Yeah.
It also might be a little difficult to get onto the bed. Like, so Gregory, probably not now, but last time we went, we put a chair so he could get in and out of the bed.
Animal Kingdom, I think we did that.
Yeah, because he, if he had to get down and go to the bathroom or something, he needed to do that. But I love that they have that storage. I think for the, you know, considering, you know, values of the smallest size rooms you have, I felt like it wasn't very tight in there.
No.
I felt like the bed was pretty comfortable. And the shower worked, which I love. there was a lot of storage, you know, to put things.
There,
like,
was, yeah.
I am a vacationer who unpacks, yep. Right? So, like, and you know that about me. So, like, I liked that there was plenty of space to unpack or close, and I didn't have to feel like I was living out of a suitcase.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
No, I think, yeah, definitely in terms, I wasn't expecting to be blown away by size or disappointed by size, because, again, I'm the type of person, and we're the type of family, we speak for our kids in this case as well, the room is where we rest.
Yes.
We're not there to spend all day in the room, anything like that. What I was kind of surprised by, though, so having looked at values before, what I got the sense about them was, if you want the most Disney theming, meaning there's Mickey Mouse, Donald, Goofy, Minnie, Daisy all over the place, the values generally have a lot of that. And outside the room, there was, you know, they have giant Mickey with the phone, there was a Goofy with a surfboard, it was all that,
yep,
kind of stuff.
I took a photo with that.
There you go. But in the room itself, there was only the one kind of, like, framed picture of, like, retro-looking Mickey, like, three retro Mickey, like, heads. And I kind of looked, I'm like, huh. I wasn't expecting, like, the sheets to be, you know,
Mickey. You
kind of
were, though.
Not really, like, but I was expecting a little bit more, because that's kind of the feel I got walking through, like, the lobby and stuff. Whereas you go to, like, Animal Kingdom Lodge, if you didn't know Disney World existed, and they dropped you in there blindfolded, you wouldn't think that that was part of Disney's property, because until, like, Safari Mickey shows up, you go, there's not a thing in here that makes me think that, you know, well, cast members and all that with their badges, but I'm saying, like, in terms of theming. So the room itself was nice. It was good to rest in. The bed was comfortable enough. All the rooms open up to the outside, so it's your typical kind of motel kind of feeling, which is fine, because even, like, moderates like French Quarter and Caribbean do that too. They open to the outside. Coronado opens to the outside unless you're in the Grandestino Tower.
Well, and I will say, even the theming, I think the theming, because we can go into that too, the theming is a little wonky, I would feel like, at this resort, because it's different centuries, right? But then they kind of put Mickey and Goofy in them. Like, there's a big giant oversized foosball.
Area. That was freaky.
That just, I feel like, takes up a lot of space. I kind of wish there was just a playground there. There was, I'm trying to think of what else there was. It just felt, there was a big Rubik's Cube somewhere. That, you know, it was
like the stairwells were not constructed out of, but like the end of each stairwell. So, like, ours were like these cassette tapes or A-tracks, maybe. There were yo-yos that acted as
it was,
like, stairwells.
It felt like it was kind of just thrown together in some
points. A little bit.
We walked over to Art of Animation, and Art of Animation's theming was amazing.
That's on point over there.
Oh my gosh. Like, you walked into the car section and you were like, wow, you're in Cars. Or you walked, like, it felt very Disney, very over the top, loved it kind of thing. Like we walked around and we're like, our kids would love this. You know,
absolutely.
All of this theming that's here. So I felt like it. And when I said the All-Stars, I feel like All-Star Movies, you know, has a lot of the cool theming and stuff like that.
Of course.
This, to me, felt a little all over the place and all that. Like,
yeah,
I got a Disney feel, but not all the feels, you know? So.
No, that's fair.
Mm-hmm. All right, so.
So that was room, pool, transportation, food. Is there anything else we kind of missed in that?
Honestly, I think the last thing that we, and this is all dependent on personal preference, though, is that the cost, you know, is,
yeah,
you know, we've stood at deluxes, we've stood at moderates, we stood at, you know, this cost was pretty good compared to a lot of, you know, like, I mean, in terms of not the value of it, but like it's cheaper, right?
Literally, so just the cost itself.
It's cheaper. If you were looking to save some money, this is a resort to save money at, you know? It's going to be cheaper than Art of Animation unless you stay in a standard room in Art of Animation, because they're usually suites. And you get access to the Skyliner.
And it's for the price. Like, if you're looking for a value to stay in, this one does offer a little more upside than the All-Stars, because the Skyliner offers you another mode of transportation.
Right.
However, there is the trade-off being that there are no buses that go to Hollywood Studios and Epcot unless the Skyliner's not operating, but, you know.
Well, so then I think let's go to overall.
Yeah.
Overall feelings. What are your overall thoughts? If you had to rate this, let's say, between, you know, 0 to 5, you want to go to, sure, or 10, what do you want to do?
Do 0 to 10.
I think. 10 being the best,
yep.
0 being like, get me out of here, never wants to hear again. I mean, what would you give it?
I would give it an honest 7.
Okay.
I would give it a 7 because I wasn't blown away by Pop Century, but I also wasn't disappointed by Pop Century. I knew what it was going into it. I wasn't expecting like any sort of Grand Floridian style, like...
You don't like Grand Floridian. I get it.
No, that's not what I meant. I meant, like, you walk into Grand Floridian, there's a guy playing a grand piano and stuff like that. I know.
It's very different.
I knew this was a value going into it, so I was expecting value returns, basically, and that's what it was, which is fine. It felt more crowded because it's a value. They have more rooms. They could fit more people. It made sense. But I wasn't disappointed by the stay either.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think, like, in terms of, for me, when I look at options for a trip, it does come down to cost, because you're not going to get much difference in ticket pricing or anything like that, but the hotels is where you can get a difference.
Savings, yeah.
And if you're somebody that doesn't mind like the bus to Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom and enjoys the Skyliner, this is a good property to look at because it's a value, so it's going to be a little less expensive than your moderates out there. Obviously, if you're somebody that must be steps away from a Magic Kingdom or anything, you're not going to stay in Pop right. Century, obviously. But yeah, that's why I give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah. See, I think for me, I liked it. I do think it's a solid resort. But I'm torn because I honestly think the Skyliner was good, but it wasn't the best it could have been, right? And I think mm-hmm. that's because when you have to disembark the Skyliner and then get on it again,
yep.
I would have rather just waited for a bus at that point, you know? So
right.
So to me, I think if the price difference between this and like an all, like you're looking for the cheap values, right? Between this and a refurbished All-Star, because not All-Star Sports I don't think is refurbished yet.
Oh, okay.
And I would pick like All-Star music or movies over. I think I would pick if the price difference was like tremendous, I would definitely go All-Star.
Oh, example, if it was your whole week, the All-Stars were like 500 and Pop was like 800 or 900.
Yeah, like let's say like per night the difference is $200. Then yeah, go All-Star. If the difference is like 50 to 100, I think you can weigh your options of what's sure. important to you.
But the fact that you're weighing options and not going Pop immediately.
Yeah, I mean, because like
speaks volumes.
It was a fine resort. I definitely think it was a fine resort, but I also feel like I don't need to spend a lot more money just to get on the Skyliner for this particular resort because of the having to wait. It's going to take that same amount of time
right.
to sit on a bus. So no, I'd rather fair, yeah. just be on a bus versus like waiting, getting online again with tired kids.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think if you're a couple also, I don't think this is the right resort for you either. If you are it's like, if hectic. You're going on your honeymoon or you're going on an anniversary trip or you're going like that, I think you splurge and you stay at a moderate or a deluxe
mm-hmm.
And get a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think for a family trying to save some money, family of 3 or 4, this could be good. Family of 5 is not going to work.
No.
So, you know, thinking that all through, I think, you know, you're going to get very similar food options at an All-Star. You're going to get, so I'm a little bit torn between that.
No, that's fair.
I do love the Skyliner, but if you're also going to spend all your time at Magic Kingdom, it doesn't matter then.
No, because you can't Skyliner.
So save some money and stay at an All-Star because you might as well just wait. But if you can't afford it, I would say French Quarter over this because Caribbean is going to be a lot more than French Quarter. Big always.
Skyliner, yeah.
But if you can spend a little bit more, but maybe you can't spend the Caribbean level and you're looking for something in between, I would lean towards French Quarter over Pop. You're going to be bussed everywhere, but you get a nicer pool, a nicer kids area.
Yes.
The rooms are so nice.
Beignets.
You get beignets. And I just feel like it's a nicer resort,
yeah.
you know, and it's a moderate. So I just think you get a little bit more. So I think it's a fine resort. if you're just going to lay your head down, you might as well just go for a cheaper option, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If you have a if you're a family of four or less.
No, that's fair. So out of 10, what would you give it?
Maybe a 5. 5? 5 or 6. That's depending. Fair. It really just depends on what you're looking for. Yeah. If you really care about, if you're going to spend a lot of time at your hotel, then don't stay here.
Right.
If you're only going to if you're going to stay here sometimes, but mostly it's like, I'm just going to sleep here, then it's definitely a contender, because, you know, maybe the Skyliner is attractive. It does. What's nice is that you can go over to Art of Animation. So that, I think, that gives a little bit more leg up maybe than All Stars if you want to go explore another area.
True.
You can't use their pool, but you can kind of see some other things and have more food options, which is kind of nice.
Right. Very true.
So, all right. I think that was a good episode.
Yep. Absolutely.
Back into the swing of things. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts?
No, it was a good adults only trip. We learned the value of a Pop Century resort. True. Value resort. You got to try Tron. It was a good trip.
And there were other things we did. We just didn't touch on it. We'll touch on another episode.
Yep.
Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us as we get back into the swing of things. As I said again, if you're looking for more tips and tricks, visit unlockingadventures.com. As you plan your next Disney vacation or any trip with your family. And be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Adventures by Lisa K. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye.